Okay, today's daf is Ksubis daf Kuf Beis, and we are on Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. We're about to start the Gemara. We started the 12th parak of Meseches Ksubis, and we mentioned the issues of a man marrying a woman and committing himself to support the daughter from a previous marriage for 5 years, and whether that is called an obligation that is not definite. We had the discussion of the Rambam and the Ravid about obligating oneself to something that is not definite. The Rambam says you can't do that. The Ravid says you can. The Rambam says it's an exception to the rule because it's related to issues of marriage, as we'll get to the svara for that on today's daf Amid Beis, on daf Kuf Beis. Just one starting off with the Chashuk Yechemet today, and that is, the Mishnah continued and said that even if, let's say, he divorces his wife, marries someone else, and the new husband also decides to support the woman for the daughter for 5 years, it is okay. They're overlapping Chiyuvim. We don't say that, oh, because one of them is taking care of it, so the other one doesn't have to. They're separate Chiyuvim, and they're overlapping. One could give food, and one could give the value of food, and they can't get together and just combine it. The last halacha of the Mishnah was what happens if they die, the stepfathers die, the daughters, I misspoke yesterday, the daughters, we're talking about his actual daughters, not the granddaughters. The daughters could get fed from the Nechasa B'nei Chorin because that's a Tanai Ksuba, and this woman, the stepdaughter, even is stronger because that's a Shibu that was created, and she could get from Nechasa Mishubadim. Okay, just one halacha, and that is the first Chashuk Echemet here in the 12th parak, Sheila. Maisa ba'adam shehisiyas bito lechasen tamar chacham etzuyan. His daughter is getting married to a great tamar chacham, and the father-in-law, avi akala et chayev lefarneses bito, he says, I'm going to give a certain amount of money so they could help buy an apartment and help get food, etc. And then all of a sudden, the daughter, his daughter, gets an amazing job. Gets an amazing job. Bito matza misra mechubedet shalem ein bayit b'mosad chinuchi. Ha'if sham hiu b'ayla yikablu mador. There, they get a place to live, and they get food, they get fed by the school, etc. But the father committed that he's going to give money to be able to help buy them an apartment, and to give them food, but now they have it. V'nistapek avi abas. Ha'im chayav l'ham shichu l'shalem midei chodesh b'chacho ha'schum ha'nechbat shivtiach. Right now, they don't need it. So it's like to the two husbands, right? If there's an overlapping fee of, do we have the umdana that, well, you look at the result. Lomaisi was interested in making sure his daughter was taken care of. She is taken care of now, and therefore he does not have to do it. Or do we say, no, each one stands on its own, and he committed. So he says, L'chora Mishnah Mefurashasi. L'chora, it's Mefurash. Avo b'she'en abas tzricha yosel mezonos. B'b'nei she'makabelas mezonos b'abal ha'sheni. She gets it. Mikol makom. B'chol zos. Chayev abal ha'risha l'kayimis es chayevah. Shekim ala atzmo. So maybe you would say here that you would not say that he could get off the hook. So he goes back and quotes a couple of other sources, and at the end of the piece he says, maybe our case is different. If you commit for a certain number of years, that's a finite amount of time, and we say lakula and lachumra. Right, you have to do that amount of time. But here there was no amount of time given. I'll do it to make sure you have. So there, the fact that it's infinite might mean that right when it is not needed anymore, so then I don't have to do it anymore. And therefore, that's what he is note. And if she got a position, she won't need it. But what was the son-in-law's and the other family's umdana? What were they thinking? Did they really think it was only because? So he said it's complicated. And you have to go to a rav in this type of circumstance to know. But you don't say exactly that it's all the same, that, oh, chiyuvim overlap, and therefore they're all still obligatory. It's not all automatic, right? There's specific reasons why, in our case, we say that they overlap, and one does not cancel out the other one, but it might not apply exactly to all other similar cases. Right, so what about the Rambam that says that it is correct, infinite, but here he says, I'm going to, right, food, and the Rambam just says, I'm going to give you whatever you want, or 5 years. The Rambam would say, right, 5 years is infinite unless it wasn't connected to a wedding. This is connected to a wedding. Mm-hmm. So it's got similar. Okay, says the Gemara now. We are on Kuf Aleph, Amid Beis, by the Gemara. Itzmar. Somebody says to their friend, I owe you a mana. Chayiv ani lecha mana. So what is the halacha there? What did you do here? Is there a star? Is there no star? What's happening here? Somebody just go. Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, "I owe you a mana." Reb Yochanan Amar Chayiv v'Reish Lakish Amar Pater Machlokas. So what's the case that we're dealing with? Hey Chidami, Ida Amar Lahu Atemedai. Are we talking about a case? Some of there are Edom there, or else there's nothing to talk about. Nobody, he won't be able, and he denies it afterwards, he's on Chayev. So if he says to the Edim, he designates them, you are my Edim, Atem Edai, and Rashi says, Atem Edai Sha'ani Modelo, you are my Edim that I am admitting to him, that I owe him, so my time of the Reish Lakish took a Pater. Why would anybody say Pater? He's saying in front of two Edim, you are my Edim that I am admitting that I owe him, so why would one think, why would Reish Lakish say Pater? Idolo Amar Lahu Atem Edai, and if he didn't say, there happened to be two Edim there, and he's admitting, but he didn't say anything to the Edim, my time to Rabbi Yochanan to Bechayvi. Why would Rabbi Yochanan say Chayiv? Right, you have to say, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that you have to designate the Edim, or else he could just say Mishatani Becha, right, he's not, there's no star involved here, so why is it that you would be chayiv in that case, according to Rabbi Yochanan. The Ritva adds here, Mistavra, Delo Sov Dover Sheyomer Atem Edai Shani Modelo. It's not only what Rashi says, that he says to these two witnesses, Amoda, Ela Kivat Sheomer Atem Edai Bilchud Bahachi Sagi. You don't have to say Atem Edai Shani Chayiv. You don't have to finish. You just say, here, watch this. You say to two witnesses, watch this, you are my Edim. That's all you have to say. The avagav de chayv ani lecha shtei lashonos mashma lashon hoda'a v'lashon chiyuv. You don't exactly know what he means. Does he mean I am now obligating myself with a new obligation, or I owe him and now I'm admitting that I owe him from before? That's not clear. Either way, the hashta kol she'amar atem edai vade lohodan iskavin umahani miden oda. So he says you just have to say you are my witnesses, or something like that. So that's the Gemara's question. What is the case under discussion in the Brisa, or in the statement of the Amoraim, I should say, the Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So the Gemara says, the Olam Delo Ka'amar Lahu Atem Edai. Really, you are, this case is where he didn't say Atem Edai. Lo Ka'amar Lahu. V'hachav Mayaskinan Da'amar Le Chayev Ani Lecha Mana Bishtar. But the case is where he says, Chayiv ani lecha, I owe you a mana bishtar. What does that mean? So Rashi and Tosfos and Rov Rishonim say that there is an unsigned shtar. That's what we're talking about. Reuven gives to Shimon an IOU. Says, I owe you 50. I owe you 100. He does not sign his name to it. There are no Edim signed on this. So is somebody chayiv in that case? Right, an IOU with a person signs. That's what we had earlier. Back in the second parak, we discussed a type of IOU. Tosis discussed there how powerful it is. If you remember back on Chaf Aleph, Ksav Yad. We discussed that there. Machlokas we shown him whether you could taina against the Ksav Yad, Shtar Chav Yadei my boy. But that was on Daf Chaf Aleph. That's a real, he admits, he signs it. But here, it's an unsigned Shtar. So what's the halacha by a case of an unsigned shtar? Right, Rashi quotes, there was no chasima. Maser lo shtar bifaneinu v'kasav bo ani chayev l'chamana avavisha ksav yadahu ho v'lo chasam. There's no chasima there. So that's the machlokas here. Back to the Gemara. Lolam de lo kamar lo atem edai. V'yom ha'eskin darma lechayev ani l'chamana bishtar. Rebbe Yochanan amar chayev why alima milsa d'shtara kiman de'amar lehu atem edai dami. Because you give a shtar. So it's as if that gives it the strength, as if you said, you are my Edom. It's a star. It's a document. It's not really a full star. There are no witnesses and there's no signature, but that's good enough to give it that power. Reish Lakish Amar Pater Lo Alima Milsa Deshtara. No, you don't say that. It's not as strong to create that. Again, Rashi and Rabbi Sharnam assume that this is, in this case, he is admitting to owe a previous Chiyuv. That's what he's saying here. I owe you, not I am now newly obligating myself, but it is a hischaivus from before. That's the pashas. Rabbeinu Tam gives a different shot here, whether it's whether that's true, maybe it's a new hischaivus, but to note, the Rambam gives a totally different shot. The Rambam says, There's no shtar here. There's no document. He says, read the word, says the Rambam. Chayv ani lecha mana b'shtar. He's obligating himself verbally to a mana b'shtar, as if it was written down in a shtar. There is no shtar here, says the Rambam. But he's obligating himself to a mana b'shtar. That's the Rambam's understanding of the Gemara. That's right in front of the Rambam that we said yesterday. Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tezvav, Hamachayev Atzmo B'mamon La'acher B'lo Tznai Klal. He continues, if somebody obligates themselves to money to someone else without any type of condition, Aval Bishlo Hayachayev Lo Klum Ari Zachayev. That's Hodas Baldin. Kamei Edim Dami. Shedavar Zeh Kamo Matanahu V'einu Asmachta. Somebody can obligate themselves, that's fine. Ketzan. And then he says, Homer La'edim, Heyu Alay Edim Shani Chayev L'ploni Mana. Be my witnesses. There's no shtar, there's nothing. Person goes over to two witnesses and say, you're the Edim, I owe him 200. So he owes him 200. Osha kasav lo bishtar, harini chayev lo chamana. Ava bisha ain't sham Edim. Or he writes in a shtar, right? And we said before, ksav yad. Osha amar lo bifnei Edim. Here it is. Or he says in front of Edim, harini chayev lo chamana bishtar. That's what he says to the Edim. Ava bisha lo amar atem edai. Hoel va'amar bishtar, hari ze kimisha amar, hayu alai edim v'chayev l'shalim. That's the Gemara. It's all verbal though, says the Rambam. That's his shot of the Gemara. Afal pi sheshnehem modim, vo ha'edim yodim, shalo hayo lo etzlo klum. Even though everybody knows, I have never met this guy before in my life. I have no idea who he is, but he, you know, I heard he's a great guy, so I want to give him some matana. It still works. Shari chayev atzmo v'gomar v'shibet atzmo. And the Rambam has three important words. Kimo sheyishtabed ha'arev. Just like an arev, a cosigner. A cosigner never gave anything. Right? Reuven borrows money from Shimon and says, if I don't pay you back, Levi will pay back. So was Levi accepting there? He didn't get anything. And he's obligating himself. So here too, that's the Rambam's lashon. The Rambam's mashal is I can obligate myself even though I never received anything. So the Arif Mashal is very intriguing in that there is a loan there by an Arif. There is a prior Shibud, as the Shem will have later on our daf. You could say the Arif is a stand-in for the Loveh. There is something that was gotten. The Arif is the Loveh. But that's what the Rambam says. An Arif, as if the Rambam is emphasizing that an Arif is independent. The Arif is not just a stand-in and you see him as if he got it. The Arif is independent, and he didn't get anything. And he's still obligating himself. Right? Where's the source of Arvus? The end of Sefer Bereishis. Anochi Arvenu, Miyadi Tevakshenu. What's he getting? He's not getting anything, Yehuda. Right? But he's saying, I'll do it. That's Arvus. That's the Rambam's shot of the Gemara. But again, Rashi, we'll go with Rashi's shot, and that what we're talking about here is an unsigned shtar. If you want to see the summary of these three shitas, the Ksos, at the beginning of Simon's Mem, he quotes the three shitas understanding the Gemara. Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rambam. And he asks on the Rambam. He says, Farnes Kashu B'Divri HaRambam Kol HaAchronim Eich Mischayiv B'Dibur Ba'alma B'lo Kinyin B'lo Shtar. How does the Rambam, there's no shtar, he didn't say to Eda, at least here, in the Rashi Pshat, there is an unsigned shtar, there's a document. So you want to say it's a weak document? So okay, it takes the place of a real shtar, but how does the Rambam, how does that work? He's not mechayev himself in anything. So, they struggle. Maybe it's a Kenyan Odisa, right, another type of... Hodas Baldin, he doesn't say Atem Eidai. He's not saying you are my Edim there. That's the Chiddush. He's not appointing Edim there to say, so you could just say he's saying something and there are two people standing there, but Mashatani Becha, I don't really mean it. You have to designate the Edim, to witness the event. Atem Eidai, Yichud Edim, is probably more famously known by a wedding. By a wedding, right? The Gemara says in Kiddushin on Daf Mem Gimel that you don't need it. Right, that you don't need Yichud Edim by a wedding. It's the Gemara of Beferish, it seems to be. The Gemara at the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, has a rhetorical line, right, and therefore you get from the rhetorical line what the halacha is. The Gemara says, Elo me'ata, kidesh isha bifnei Edim, v'lo amar lohem atem edai, hochenami delo ave kiddushay. If you get married in front of two witnesses and you don't say you are my witnesses, you're going to say they're not married? Meaning, of course they're married. That's the pashas of the Gemara. But then there's the Ritva. The Ritva there in Kiddushin, on Daf Mem Gimel, his Shita, as quoted, I think, in the Pischei Tshuva, in Hilchasa, in Eben Ezer, he is the Shita that many discuss in terms of a wedding. The Ritva says, the Chiddush of the Ritva is, Mihu, Kol Heicha. You're right, you don't need Atem Edai. But what if there are relatives at the wedding? Which hopefully there are at every wedding. Right, but what if there are relatives at the wedding? Kol Heicha Sheyesh Ba'oso Ma'amad K'sherim U'Psulim O'Krovim Tzarech Li'yached Edei Kiddushin. You're right, the Gemara says you don't need to. But says the Ritva, that's only if there are no relatives at the wedding that see the chassa putting the ring on the finger. But if there are relatives, so then the Ritva says you need yichud edim. Di lo, because if not, kivan diika eid pasul beneim edus kulam betela. Right? Nimsa echad karavo pasul edusam betela. Somebody in the group is a bad aid, right? Or is a pasul aid? So then the whole group is ruined. The afalgav da amrina, and even though they could say, I lomechsi asina, we didn't come to be witnesses. We're just here for the simcha. We're here for the wedding. I don't want to be a witness. So the Ritva says that only works by dini mamonis and dini nefashis, where the edus is about only accepted once you come to Bezdin. V'shas re'i alo chashiva edus. Aval hacha b'kidushin eino edus ba'ala ames hadavar bilvad. It's not just what we would call edei biur for later on to say what happened. But as we know, they're called edei kiyum in the language of Reb Chaim. B'mekayim me'adavar akasam adaber. You need the edim, or else it didn't halachically take place. So says the Ritva there you say you're an aid right at Shas Re'iyah, and therefore you would need yichud edim. So this is a chumrah of the Ritva, and that's why many, many Masadri Kiddushin tell the chassan, or say to the chassan, these are your edim, right? Right, or they have him designate, some say designate these edim, some say, you know, these are your edim. Either way, it's the understanding is done. Rav Soloveitchik had a famous lashon that many of his talmidim go through, to the exclusion of all others here. Right, that's a very explicit yichud edim, but it all goes back to this, the Ritva. I once had a case, I didn't have a case, but one of my rebbeim, I took a class in smicha, that one of the rebbeim said that he once had a case where this worked out properly. There was a case, Rachmana Litzlan, of a mamzerus in his shul, and it was terrible. It was a terrible case, he said. And the question is, anything to do? Usually, there's nothing to do about mamzerus. We don't live in the times of the yovel, when we could have Eved Ivries and use Rabbi Tarfon's way out of mamzerus, which is not so simple anyway. So there's really no way out. So he said, I remember he said, I don't know why I asked, but he said I asked for his parents' wedding video. So he asked for his parents' wedding video in the days of videos. And he said he watched the video, and all of a sudden he's watching, and it was this conservative or reform, whatever, rabbi who was doing the wedding. And there, I guess he knew a little bit. A lot of times a little bit of information causes a lot of damage, but here it helped out a little bit. This conservative rabbi had the chassan designate the edim to the exclusion of all others here. The language of Rav Soloveitchik. Right, the exclusion of all others. And he had him designate the Edim, and it happened to be that one of the Edim was the Chassan's brother. That's what he used. And there, everybody else was off, and the chuppah was all the way up, and nobody else could really see. Whatever, he designated him. So he said, I saw that. And I'm like, oh. So he says, he didn't tell us who he asked. He said, I asked certain, by marriages, to undo a marriage, they're only Yechidei school in every generation. It's not for every rabbi on the street. So he said he spoke to two or three big guns, and they were matur based on that. To say the marriage was never a marriage, it was never... So, anyway, that was one place where it helped out. But there's no psak, that's the story that goes. There are a lot of other details. There were other witnesses there, maybe they saw it anyway. It's not so simple to use that type of svara to undo. But either way, that's the story of the opposite of yichud edim. Okay, here we go. Says the Gemara, but here we're talking about yichud edim by dini mamonis. In terms of... an unsigned star, let's go with Rashi's pshat. So Tanan says the Mishnah, our Mishnah says, Hanosiasa Isha Upaska Imola Zunas Bita Chameshanim, Chayla Zunah Chameshanim. So what's the case? The husband, on our Mishnah, the husband says to the wife, I accept upon myself to feed your daughter for 5 years. So what's the case there? Is it that he signed a star and he signed it with Edom and everything? That's a different pashut. That can't be what the Mishnah is talking about. So maybe it's talking about our type of case. My love, ki agavna. Isn't it talking about a case where there was no kinyan done, there was no chasima done? So maybe it was an unsigned star, right? And he did not appoint the witnesses. So isn't that what we're talking about here? Says the Gemara. No, lo b'shtarei psikta. We're talking about shtarei psikta. What is shtarei psikta? They are agreements at the time of the marriage, what we might call tnaim, agreements between the fathers at the time of the marriage. And those have special rules. And we'll see why they have special rules. The Rambam already said this yesterday. But they have special rules, and therefore they could be obligatory even if there was no normal kinyanim done. Ukidir Rav Gidel, Domer Rav Gidel Amarav, Kama Ata Notin Labincha, Kach Vakach. Right, the father of the Kala says, how much are you putting into the marriage? How much are you giving in? How much? Kach Vakach, Kama Ata Notin Labincha, Kach Vakach. Umdu, the kidshu, right, when they made these commitments, and then the marriage took place right then, kanu, these commitments kick in, go into effect, even though there was no separate kinyan for the commitments, hein hein advarim haniknim ba'amira. And these are special types of obligations that are niknep, that automatically go into effect with just an amira. And again, we'll see on Amid Beis why this is, what is the svara. There is a discussion in the Achronim whether this is mamish a kinyan d'araisa. The Nesivus has a suggestion that this works on a d'araisa level. Others say the ra'ah over here says that maybe it's just a takana miyuchedes, that once the marriage takes place, then the Rabbanan said that all the commitments relating to the marriage also also kick in. So there's different ways how this works, but these are known as Dvar Maniknim Bamira, the Shtare Psikta. And this is where the minhag in our day and age of having Tsnoim, which really goes back to the time when they had Eretzin and Nisuin, 12 months apart from each other, right, it's the agreement between the parents, where Bizman Azeh, it's not really needed because it's done mamish right before the marriage, but, you know, some still do it because you want to get three extra kibudim. So that way it could still be created. But that's Shtare Psikta, Dvarim Haniknim Ba'amira. So the Sharam Tzion Balacha here quotes a drush from the Darkei Tshuva. That's the Munkacher. The Darkei Tshuva, that he says, related to this line of Dvarim Haniknim Ba'amira. He says, Im tzara chasan v'kala maskimin l'ashidach bikra adavar. If the chasan, the parents are getting together, and they're ready, and all they have, they've committed financially to each other, and they don't have any arguments with each other, and now they're ready, great, amazing, let's get married. And after all, there are always so many bumps in the road, and sometimes there are tiffs and arguments until you get to this point, but now they're here, and now they're ready, and it's really happening? So this could only be going back to the Amira. What's the Amira? Arvoim yom kodem yitziras avlad, 40 days, the Gemara says, before a baby is born, a baskol goes out and says, bas ploni l'ploni, right? Dvarim ha'niknim ba'amira. If it's really happening, so he said, it's going back. Hein hein advarim she'niknu ba'amira, hein hein advarim she'kvar niknu ba'amira, ba'shamayim, bas ploni l'ploni. That's what he's saying, that's kedarku ba'kodesh, quoting the drush on that line. That's the Agadata for today. Tomorrow there's a lot of Agadata. Amazing daf. Daf Kof Gimel and Ksubis. Again, we'll put it up from the last cycle about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi coming back after he died, making Kiddush. That is on tomorrow's daf. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara Tashma. Let's try again in this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Tashma, kasav la kohen, sha'ani chayav l'chacham eisloim. Somebody writes to a kohen. It's the father who's obligated. He had a firstborn son. He has to do pidyon haben. He writes to the father, I owe you, ani chayev lecha five slime. So what's the halacha? Chayev litin lochame slime. That IOU does not work for pidyon haben. Right? You're not putter. You have to give him five slime. Ubino eino padui. And his son is not nifte. His son is not nifte with this pashas right now before he gives any money, he is not padui. So, what do you see from here though? If he says, chayvani litin lo chame slayim, that, the chiddush of the brisa doesn't have to be that he has to pay him five slayim, because the Torah says that. What this must mean is that, in addition, he obligated himself. He gave him a piece of paper that says he owes five slayim. So, isn't this talking about a case where it's an unsigned shtar? Because if it was a signed shtar, then obviously he owes five slime. So isn't this talking about a case of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? And this proves, like Rabbi Yochanan, that it is significant. Isn't this what we're talking about? Where I said, no. Shiny hasam de mishubu le midaraisa. No, we're not talking about an extra one. No, we're talking about the chiyuv. The chiyuv of five slime that you're chayav daraisa to pay for pidyon haben, that's why. Meshubat le midaraisa. And that's why it works. Says the Gemara, Yahachi, Yemai Kasa. So what's the purpose of writing? He's obligated, it's not an extra chiyuv, it's just the chiyuv of pidyon haben. So why do you write the shtar? Right, the Torah says he's chayav. Doesn't have to do anything more. So kedei levara lo kohen. No, he wants to obligate himself to a specific kohen. You know, he's very excited about which kohen he's going to give it to. He doesn't want to change his mind. So he gives this to the kohen. So at least this kohen is the one that's designated for who's going to get the pidyon haben. So Gemara says, yachi bno amayin opadoi. So then why is his not, his, right, if the reason is that he already committed himself to what the din d'oraisa is, so why it doesn't this work? Right, in other areas of halacha, IOUs work. You gave him something that's worth 5 slime to him. So kidda ula to amar ula dvar Torah padui likisha yitain. Really, on a d'oraisa level, he's nifter right when he gives it. Right, you might say that the language of Bnoan and Padui means even when he would give it. So really, right away, it is, the Pidyon HaBen works when he gives the money. Umay taima amru b'no eino padui. And why mi d'rabbanan do we say that it doesn't work in this case? Gzeira shema yomru podin b'shtaros. Because the people might then come to say that you can be poda even with a shtar. What is a shtar? What does shtar mean in this case? So Rashi says, shtaros means you could be poda with a shtar that somebody else owes you money. So I have a shtar that says somebody owes me 5 slime. I'm going to give that to the Kohen. So is that where that doesn't work? But if I allow this case to work, that the IOU works, l'kisha yitain, so then people might come to think that this other case also works. If I give a shtar that somebody else owes me money, and that doesn't work. B'shtar chov sheish lo al acher. So therefore, the Rabbanan work goes there that this shouldn't work. This shouldn't work either. Either way, so this braisa did not help us in the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Good. Just a couple of ha'aras about the Pidyon HaBen issue. Talking about designating which Kohen. There is, we mentioned in the past, I think, a tshuva, a mechudish tshuva of the She'elas Yavetz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Right? Actually, we'll start from the... We'll go backwards. In the Sefer Pidyon HaBen Kehilchasa, right, which has everything you want to know about Pidyon HaBen. But, any type of shita out there, any type of kula or a chumra. So there he writes in Perakei, Yesh Misha Omer, Shekivan she'einanu kohanim miyuchasim v'adon. Because bizman hazeh, all kohanim are kohanim muchzakim, not kohanim miyuchasim. We assume they're kohanim. Do we know for sure? Right? What about the kohen gene? You know, what does halacha say about that? Right? What if somebody goes and doesn't have the kohen gene, even though he assumes he's a kohen? What about the other way? But lemaisa nowadays, kohanim are kohanim muchzakim, most of them. So, there are those that are machmir, that whenever you find a new kohen, and you are a bechor, give him 5 slime, just in case every Kohen up until now was not really a Kohen, then you should give to the new Kohen. Who's he quoting here? He's quoting Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Tshuva. A couple of radical shitas, but this is one of them. He says, Ra'isi la'azkir, Aleph Kufnun Hei, ma'shenogim harbi Kohenim la'hachzir pidyon, shenokhunu be'enai. Well, he starts off the Tshuva by saying, the Kohenim that give back the money, after they got Pidyon HaBen, it was fully there. As they say, oh yeah, you could keep it as a souvenir. Tov v'yashar, I think it's good. Why? Because maybe they're not even calling him. Ava kohani chazaka ba'alma kia idna. Ava gav de la chumra azlina bu l'chol mili. Uparkinan b'chor mal yadayu. Even though we assume they're calling him for all halachas in terms of aliyos, in terms of benching, in terms of birchas kohanim. Mishum de lo efshar ba'achrini. Mi alahak elo. But not to be mekel. Dahainu lahotzi mamona av misafik. And I maybe even think Meikra did you have to return the money. Ulafachos kalkoin yachush laatzmo lefrosh misafe gezel shema eno shema ona koin. The chulun he continues. And he's v'gam near ali shalasi si kal safe koyef shari gish gamkin alaav liptos bechoro mikal koinim sheyuchal limso dilma misrami lekoin miyuchas vaday. Maybe you'll get a good one. Umehai time anami. And then he quotes an unbelievable suffix. And then he says, unbelievable chumra, ben kohenes v'levia, yesh liftoso achsham misafek. What if you're the son of a bas levi? Or maybe you're not a bas levi. Maybe you're not a bas kohen. De maishra mikol sveka daraisa. De kol mai de efshar letkune misatkina lasesi de safek, bechol tatzdike de ikolam evin. Avo ben kohen, nir leishino niftagam izman hazeh. Nah, if you're not a son of a kohen, not. Shelo yavo lo hakel bikdushaso, ula hatiro bikhusha, ula tami lomes. That's a zilzal in the kahuna. That's a chumra of the Shilas Yavetz, and they quote B'Shem the Vilna Gaon as well. They quote B'Shem the Vilna Gaon that the Gra, when he was a Bechor, whenever he met a new Kohen, gave him 5 slime. Right, just as this based on this. But the Achronim assume not that way. The Achronim assume that we do not do this, and maybe we should not do this. Number one, the last line of that tshuva, you're going to come to be mezalzel in the Kedusha. Yes, you're going to have to be mezalzel. If you make a bas, what about a bas levi? What about always vadai demanding the money back? Yeah, the konim muchzakim, so we don't assume that way, and we don't have to make ourselves crazy. We do one, we do one. The note to be Yehuda writes in a tshuva, also, that we only say, we've quoted this last year, Shavuos, we quoted this svara. They quote this svara in the name of Reb Chaim, some say it's not what Reb Chaim said, but either way, it's a svara. That you only say Safek Daraisa Lechumra if after the Safek you have now cleared things up. I'm not sure if I benched or not. I don't remember. Savi derais alachumra, you got to bench again. So now you ask the question, did I do it? Now I for sure did it. Right? Savi derais alachumra is, if after I'm machmir, then everything is now clear and I for sure did it. But what if even after Savi derais alachumra, you're still not sure? Right? Where does this come up? In the tchela sugya. Savi derais alachumra, you know, maybe it's the correct tchelas. So therefore, lachumra. But others say, well, maybe this svara, if even after the chumra, it doesn't help. So here, the Noda Behuda writes, here, so this second coming is also a suffix. You want to see the first one, the suffix? That was also a suffix. So it's not going to be cleared up, Savi Darais al-Chumra. So maybe you don't say Savi Darais al-Chumra in this case, and that's the minog. The minog is not to go to every coin that I meet on the street. One coin is enough. If you find out for sure later on in history that somebody was not a coin, you hear these stories every once in a while that somebody when they're 70 years old, my wife had a great uncle, right, 70 years old, or a relative that found out he was a Levi when he was 80. He found out he was a Levi. He went to an old, long-lost kever, and he realized he was a Levi. Okay, mazel tov, he's a Levi. But sometimes, what if you have the opposite? Somebody finds out that he's not a coin. So, okay, then there's something to talk about. If he's a Vade, not a Kohen. But if you don't know, then it is okay. Again, Pidyon HaBen is a huge topic. But we'll continue now. And if we have time, we'll come back to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and other thoughts on Pidyon HaBen. And whether you could use different types of shtaris for Pidyon HaBen. Amar Rava, but now let's continue. Amar Rava, Kitanoi. Maybe this issue of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakis is really a Machlokas Tanoim. Machlokas Tanoim from the end of Maseches Bava Basra. That's where the sugyas of Arvus are. Arev Hayotze Achar Chisim Shtaris. So we're going to compare a case of an unsigned shtar, that's the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, to a case of a commitment in a shtar after the signatures. So we're going to compare those two cases. Meaning, what's the case here? Arev Hayotze Achar Chisim Shtaris. You have a whole shtar, and the Edom even signed on the shtar, that Reuven owed Shimon money. After the Edom signs, then the Arev, the co-signer, writes, and I obligate myself to pay if the guy can't pay. So what halachic significance is that? Usually we say that Edom are verifying and signing on everything above their signatures. Here, it appears after their signatures. So it's kind of like an unsigned shtar, because there's nothing after them. So, it has significance. You collect from Nechasa B'nei Chorin. It doesn't have the status of a shtar, of a shibud b'shtar, but it still has significance. Ma'isa balafnei Rabbi Yishmal, the Amar Gove Minechasa B'nei Chorin. Amar lo ben Nanas. Ben Nana says, no, eino Gove lo Minechasa B'nei Chorin, lo Minechasa B'shibadim. No. The Arev is totally scot-free. What do you mean? There's no edus on his commitment. It's at the bottom. Omar lo, lama. They say, why? Omar lo, harish ayachonik as chavir bashuk. If somebody's getting strangled by their friend in the shuk, basically a creditor is going over to a debtor and said, give me the money, give me the money, and he's torturing him. Umatza chaviru, and somebody passes by. V'yomar lo, hanach lavani tein lucha. And somebody passes by and says, stop and leave him alone. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. So is that a real commitment? So we say, no, patur. Shalal emuna so hilveyu. No, because the original loan was not based on his emuna, meaning he didn't commit. He wasn't an arev at the beginning, at the original time. He just wants the guy to stop torturing him. So we don't assume that that's a real commitment. Shalal emuna so hilveyu. So that's Benana Sisvara. So maybe this, we compare the cases. Again, an unsigned shtar totally versus a signature of an arev after Edus Inishtar. So, Lema Rabbi Yochanan, who says an unsigned shtar is significant, to Amar Rabbi Yishmael, he holds like the first opinion, for Reish Lakish to Amar Keben Anas. And Reish Lakish, who says an unsigned shtar is not obligate, is not created on obligation, he goes to Ben Anas. So the Gemara said, no. Aliba de Ben Anas, Kuli Amalo Pligi. according to Ben Annas, is not a Shaila. Meaning, Reb Yochanan is for sure not like Ben Annas. Reb Yochanan, who says that the shtar is significant, for sure cannot go within the shita of Ben Annas, who says that the Arif signing afterwards is significant. But, this is what the Gemara always does, Kulamalo Pligi, that you can't say that this opinion, this shita has both of them in them. But Ki Pligi, Aliba de Rabbi Yishmael, but Rabbi Yishmael, who says by the Arif case, it is significant, so both shitas could agree within that shita. Right, even Reish Lakish could say, what do you mean? I can follow Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yochanan is straight up, like Rabbi Yishmael. I mean, you compare these cases that don't have Eidus on it. Reish Lakish says, no, wait a minute. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yishmael ha-saminor. Rabbi Yishmael says there it is significant. Ela de shayach le l'shibud de daraisa. There is a real shibud that you see in front of you. There's a shtar here with witnesses signed on it. There is a shibud that is created. And therefore, the Arvus, the Me'iri's Lashon here, builds on that real Shibud. And that's why you need less. Even if it's there after the signatures, it's still piggybacking on something real. And that's why it could be strong enough to be obligatory. Avol Hacha, but what's happening here? Lo Shayach Shibud the Darbai, so there's no Shibud here. It's an unsigned shtar that says, I owe you 50. That's all it is. And there are eight of them standing there. So Reish Lakish would say, that's much weaker. So you don't have to box me in and say, I only hold like one shita. Period. Gufa, Amar of Gidol Marav, getting back to Shtari Psikta. Kama atanos in the bincha, kach v'kach. Kama atanos in the bitcha, kach v'kach. The agreements at the time of the marriage, amdu v'kidshu. If they stand up and get married, kanu. The Kenyan works, hein hein adrama niknen ba'amira. Right, these are things that are niknen ba'amira just with the words and the commitment based on the following kiddushin. There is a machlokas rishonim. How quickly after this agreement does the wedding have to take place? Right, how quickly? Like we do those who do the tznayim do it, mamach at the chasen's tish, right before the wedding. Right, they do the tznayim, and then they write the ksuba, and then they go straight to the wedding. So there is a machlokas though, machlokas rishon. If you look in Bali at Tosfos, in Kiddushin on Daf Tes, the Rashbam in Tosfos says it's gotta be right away. But oso ma'amad. Meaning these dvarim haniknim ba'amira have to be mamish asukin ba'oso inyan with the wedding. If it's done beforehand, at a different setting, at a different time, then this does not work. It's not linked strongly enough. Another rishonim say no, as long as it's aldas. As long as it's aldas of the wedding that's going to take place, that would be good enough. It doesn't have to be in the same maimed. And that's what the Ritva quotes. That's what the Ritva quotes here. He quotes the Rashbam and then says to the Reno, she says, Eino, the La'olam kosha kitshu aldas tsnarma rishonimu, the umdu lashana talmudu kamobakama bakomos. Umdu doesn't mean they stood up and they did it right now. Miyu kosha lo kitshu lo kanu. But the Ritva does say, if the wedding never takes place in the end, so then the obligations don't take place. V'chenim chazru bohen, kodim kiddushin. Right, it just means that it can work if the wedding does take place in the future. So says the Gemara now, Amar Rava, Mistavra milsei derav. It's logical. This statement of Rav, of Shtari Psikta, makes sense. Bebito na'ara, tekamati hanali yade. It makes sense when the father of the girl is, the girl is a na'ara, so the father's getting the kesef kiddushin. So if he's getting something, so with that money that he's getting, he's willing to commit. Aval bogeres delomati analiyade lo. But if it's a bogeres, where he's not getting it, she's getting it herself low, then he's not getting anything, so we don't say it's a real commitment. That's what Rava says. And then the Gemara says, no, v'alokim. The Gemara says v'alokim, which is lashon of shvua. The Rishonim here talk about how can you make a shvua like that. The Ritva here. But the alokim, Amar Rava filu bogeres. No, Rav's statement is even a bogeres. De ilote mahachi avia ben my hanos aliyade. What about the father of the chasan? He's not getting anything. So it must be not that you're getting something financial here. That's not the reason that this is occurring. Ella, rather, bihahi hana. Here's the key line. Bihahi hana de kamichtini bahadadi gamri umakri lahadadi. They're getting the hana of having their children get married. That hana makes them have full gemiras das in terms of what they are giving into the marriage, right? Biyahi hana. This comes up in various places, right? It comes up by a woman giving a very special man a gift, And the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Kedushin, if it's an Adam Chashuv, then with the Hana'ah that she gets by having this man accept my gift, that's giving her something, and that could be Kedushin. That could be in lieu of Kesef Kedushin, according to some Rishonim. So that's what it says here. Hana'ah, they're not getting anything physical, but the Hana'ah of the Nachas Ruach, of their children getting married, that is enough. It's interesting, the Gemara here has, how does the line in the Gemara, Bo Elokim, know that Rav said, that Rav for sure didn't only mean by Nara, even by Bogaris? How did the Gemara know that? So there's no source for it. So the Ritva here says, you know what you see from this line? Sometimes if it's so logical and so obvious that an earlier Shita must have meant something, the Gemara could scream about it and say it's so obvious, even without a Mesora, that that's exactly what was said. Says the Ritva, sometimes you could have an Amora talking about an earlier Amora, an earlier Tana, and he could scream about it and say, Elokim, not based on a Misora that he has, but based on pure logic. That's what you get from here. He had to have said it, because it doesn't make sense otherwise. Right? The father of Chaz is not getting anything. So that's an important svara. We can't always say that, because our logic might be wrong. But in the Gemara, so the Gemara could say, like a later Shita could say, it's for sure what the earlier Shita must have meant. Okay. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. Dvarim alnalu nitnuli katev alo nitnuli katev. These are commitments from the parents. Can you write them down in a shtar or not? What's the issue? Well, would this shtar allow you to collect from Mishubadim? If it would, then you can't write it, because you might come to collect from Mishubadim, and this was not a commitment b'shtar. If it's not going to allow you to collect from Mishubadim, then fine, you can write the shtar, because there's no worry. Right, Rashi says, Nitnu li kasev, Natnu chachamim ksiva l'davar, did the chachamim allow you, imbo lahachtim edim b'dvar malalu shein b'lo kinyin, lo nitnu li kasev, t'lo litro mishabde. Right, you don't want people to be able to go from Mishubadim. So Amar Lei, Ravashi answers, lo nitnu li katev. It should not be written down. Right, these commitments without a kinyan should not be recorded. Eisvei, is that really true? The last line of our Mishnah said, ha-pikchin, ha-yukosun al-manash, ha-zunis bitchach, ha-mishonim, kozman sha-atimi. Remember, the Mishnah said, if you don't want to run into problems with overlapping obligations, so the smart ones would write down, I commit to feed your daughter as long as you're with me. So you see there, he wrote it down. And what do we say the whole Mishnah is talking about? We're talking about this type of commitment. A shtar without chasimus. So Gemara says, though, my kos v'nomrin. Ksiva sometimes means amira. Doesn't literally mean ksiva. V'kari le'la amira ksiva. Do you ever really find that? Gemara says, in, yeah. V'yotnan. Just think back to Prakim. The first mission in Parak HaKosev. Taf Pei Gimel. HaKosev le'ishto. Dinu dvar me'en li'ben ha'chasayich. V'tani Reb Chiya ha'omer le'ishto. Doesn't have to mean HaKosev, but it could be ha'omer. That's try number one. So no raya. Tashma, let's try to answer again. Ein kosvin shtare erisin v'nisuin. Ela midashneim. You don't write shtare erisin v'nisuin except with the knowledge of both the chasen and the kala. What are shtare nisuin? Shtare erisin. We know what a shtare erisin. What's shtare nisuin? So the Ritva says it means it's one thing. It's a shtare erisin at least nisuin. So shtayers of nisuin ela midashneihem. That's the ripping kiddushin. Ha midashneihem kosvin. But if it's midashneihem, if it's with the knowledge of both the chasen and the kala, then you can write it. Midashneihem, you can write it. So my life shtar psikta. What are we talking about here? Shtar erusin. Aren't we talking about the shtar of the commitments between the parents? Isn't that what we're talking about here? And it says that you could write it down. So where it says lo. Shtare erisin mamish. We're talking about shtar erisin, right? How could you get married? First mission kiddushin. Kesef, shtar, and bia. So shtar. Shtar erisin. That's what we're talking about here. Shtar erisin has to be written, with the das of both the chasen and the kawa. Kid the Rav Papa of Rav Shravia to Idmar. And like Rav Papa and Rav Shravia of Shita, that it has to be written lishma. Right? This is a machlokes. Machlokes amaroyim. Kasvu lishma vishalomi daita. What if you wrote the shtar erisin lishma? But shalomi daita without her knowledge, not only lishma, I meant. Shalomi daita, you have to have her knowledge. Obviously, marriage is only with her acquiescence. It's not like gerushin. But the question is, you have to write the shtar. Midaita. Rabba v'ravina amri mukudeshes. Rabba v'ravina says, no, it is not needed. Rapapa v'ravshabi amri mukudeshes. No, they say, ain't mukudeshes. It has to be written midaita. by Ishtar Erisin. We don't have this anymore. We don't do Kiddushin Adi Ishtar anymore. But Rabbi Nachshavi say it would have to be written with her das. Why is that? That's a discussion elsewhere, not for now. Tashma, let's again try again. From another line from our Mishnah. Mesu, if the father, stepfathers die, binosei nizonis minechazim nechorin, so their own daughters get fed from the nechazim nechorin, that's a tznai ksuba, nechorin, vehi nizonis minechazim mishubadim, and this stepdaughter, who was committed to, she gets from nechazim mishubadim, mibnei shei kebal aschov, because she's like a bal aschov. What do you mean like a bal aschov? What do you mean mishubadim? It must be that it was able to be written down, or else you wouldn't be able to collect from mishubadim. So again, isn't this a raya that these types of commitments can be written down? So Gemara says, no, hachamai skina b'shakanu miyado. No, there in our mission, there was a kinyan done. It wasn't stam, a shtar, without the chasimus. So the Gemara says, yachi banos nami. So what do you mean? So then his own daughters also should be able to collect from Mishubadim. Why do they only get it from b'nei chorin? So b'shakanu lazu, b'lokanu lazu. No, there was a kinyan only done for the stepdaughters, but not for the daughters. So the Gemara says, my paskas, how can the Mishnah just make such a generalization? That's always done? You always make a kinyan for the daughter, for the stepdaughters, and not for the daughters? So the Gemara says, no. Ihi dahavi b'shas kinyan, mahani la kinyan. The stepdaughters, they were alive, and they were around at the time of the marriage. So there, that was the kinyan done. Banos, the lohavi b'shas kinyan, but daughters, maybe they were born later. So, lo mahani lo kinyan. Then a kinyan does not help there because they weren't around. Davar shelo bala olam. So Gemara says, what do you mean? I can think of a case where the daughters were there beforehand. What if he was married to this woman before and had girls with her before? Milo askina dahavi b'shas kinyan. Veichidam ikigon tegir sheva hadra. Meaning, maybe this woman had daughters from a different man. And then this man married this woman twice. And this is the second time? So you could come up with a case where this commitment occurs even when both daughters and stepdaughters are both there. So Gemara says, Ella, this is the difference. Ihi delesa bitznai bezdin, mahani lakinyan. With the stepdaughters, this is a new shibud that he is creating. So he makes a kinyan on that. That's why it works. And it's a kinyan enough to be written down. Stam kinyan laksiva omeid. And therefore, it could collect from Mishubadim. Banos, the istinu b'tznai bezdin, lo mahani luhu kinyan. If it's already tznai bezdin, you can't make it stronger than a tznai bezdin. It's a tznai bezdin, period. That's it. You can't add on to strength. That's the, you're not mechazik it. It is what it is. And therefore, the Gemara says, you can't make it stronger. So the Gemara says, why not? Mikra gari. Because bezdin says something is worse. It's worse than your own commitment. So the Gemara says, yeah. Because this guy knows that Bezdin is making him do this, maybe he'll take it more seriously, and he'll already, while he was still alive, designate certain properties and certain monies that's going to go to them. And that's what we have to be nervous about. And that's why we wouldn't collect from Mishubadim for them, we would only collect from a B'nei Chorin. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Maybe I'll just mention that Rav Yaakov again. But again, tomorrow's daf is unbelievable. Every daf is unbelievable. But tomorrow's daf is really a lot of special in Yonim. Again, we'll put it up from the last cycle. We got Rav Chia saving Torah. Again, it's jam-packed, tomorrow's daf. Just to mention the Rav Yaakov that whenever you're at a Pidyon HaBen, you might hear this Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's thought. It's the last piece in Emes L'Yaakov on Parshas Bo, where he discusses the Sfarno. The Sfarno writes, what's the point of Pidyon HaBen? So that your son is now allowed to do Avodas Chol. One line. Kedei sheyu mutarim ba'avodas chol. Right? Because your son is Kadosh. And then, by giving the five Slaim, so now you have your son back and he could do Avodas Chol. He asked Rav Yaakov, so what's so good about that? You know, that's bad, isn't it? Your son is Kadosh, and now you're bringing him down. He loses his Kedusha. So why do we throw a party? Right? He's Yorib and Madrega. Why is that so good? And he says, even the Lashon that we say to Pidyon HaBen, which is not as famous, right? Kishem Shenichnas Lepidyon, Ken Yikani, Slatora Lechobo, Lamasem Tovim. He says, Lechore, Madu, Hutrakla, Lehosef, Achelik Harishon, Shalanusach. Right? Umisani Le Hanusach Hanomar, Begemara Eitzalmina, Mila, Kishem Shenichnas Lebris. Why do you add in the Pidyon HaBen? So he says, what I've written in many places, and that is the point of life is not to be born holy. The point of life is to be whole and make yourselves holy. The point of life is to take everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me and sanctify myself, not to be sanctified, right? Only about 10 people in history, or the Avos Rebbe Nassan lists off, 10 people in history that were born mahul, right? They were all Jews except for one. They say Bilam was born Mahul. That's what the Alfas Rabbi Nassim says. But that's not the point of life. The point of life for most of us is to bemal ourselves and to sanctify ourselves and to take the chol that we're given and uplift it. And that's the party that we throw because that's the purpose of life. The purpose of life is not to be born into it. To be given it on a silver platter, which is literally what people do at Pidyon HaBens, to put it, but maybe that's also part of the point, that you put him on the silver platter to show that this is where you were before now, but now it's right issue. They bring him usually, the minhag is to bring them on that silver with all the jewelry, so maybe that's the part of that minhag is that, you know, this is what it is now, but we're changing this. We're making you chol, and then you're going to have to work on it. And that's the Simcha Gedola to be able to give him this opportunity. Okay, we'll have to stop here. And B'Hashem, we will continue next time. Okay, we'll stop.